get more nervous in this room than anywhere else.
It's on your radio right now.
Do you know how to pop that coochie for a girl?
There you go.
It's the world's most dangerous one to show.
Cut the cameras, I'm out the
f***ing. What kind of show is this? My son listens to this show.
The Breakfast Club
with DJ Envy, the captain of this bitch.
With Angela Yee, the only one who can keep these guys in check.
With Charlamagne Tha God.
I'm a lovable asshole.
And this is The Breakfast Club, bitches.
And happy Thursday. Good morning, Charlamagne.
Good morning, Angela Yee. Peace to the planet. It's Thursday.
Now, did you watch 50 Central last night?
I did watch 50 Central last night.
Okay.
I didn't enjoy it too much, to be honest with you.
Why? What happened?
I don't know. Maybe I wasn't so in tune with it like I thought I would be. I really did like that one segment where
they did the casting call.
Yes, and you know I love that.
Audition.
You know I love that.
And use the N-word.
No, forget the N-word. Crack ass cracker. That's the word I was that's the word I was intrigued by. I love seeing all those different people using the term crack ass cracker.
Right.
I like that segment, but y'all don't. I was kind of on the phone while it was on. No, I was watching it.
It felt like it went by really quick.
It did go by really quick.
Because I actually stayed up for it because, you know, I'm sleeping by that time.
That's actually what it might be. I think it might be too short. Like, it should be at least 40 minutes or something like that.
I felt like it was over so quick. But yeah. I guess that's good. You don't want to feel like it dragged out.
But it's only the first episode, though. So a lot of potential there, right?
All right. Well, shout out to everybody who came to my book club last night. I had my book club. Listen, somebody showed up to the book club. We were reading Nobody by Mark Lamont Hill.
I read that. Dropping a clues bomb from Mark Lamont Hill. Great read.
And he actually joined us and, discussed a lot about what made him write the book, how he was in Ferguson, and it wasn't even intentional. He was doing a book about something else, and then when he ended up in Ferguson, he felt the need to write this book.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody showed up and said that you had gave them Donkey of the Day.
Okay,
and I was trying
I'm
to
sure
recall. He said he was accused of stalking Ashanti. And he ended up going to jail for 4 years or something.
I do remember Ashanti's stalker. I don't know if I gave him Donkey today, but I remember Ashanti having a stalker, though. I do remember that. But that just happened, though. He got home already?
I don't. Maybe he was in jail for 4 years before that happened. I don't know.
What that got to do with
me,
though?
I couldn't remember that, though. But he just was telling me that he had gotten Donkey of the Day. I didn't know if it was going
to be stalking people.
A bad situation.
You can't get mad at me for getting Donkey today because you were stalking people. I do remember Ashanti having a stalker. I don't remember if I gave that stalker donkey today.
So many donkeys, so little time.
Yeah, if I did, I'm pretty sure it was deserving, sir. So how you mad at me because you went to jail for stalking Ashanti?
But I really do enjoy my book club. It's like a town hall meeting with the different books that we've been reading thus far, and the authors have been joining us as of late, so it's really fun. Like last month, we talked about gentrification. This month, we talked about police brutality. Next month, the book that we're reading by Amanda Lipman is about how you should run for office, and she encourages people and tells you what you need to do to be able to run for some type of office.
Well, speaking of books, we got my guy Devon Franklin. He'll be here this morning. If you don't know who Devon Franklin is, he's a Hollywood producer. He's a New York Times bestselling author. He's married to Megan Good. He has a book out right now called The Hollywood Commandments, How to Achieve Secular Success, I believe is the subtitle, but it's a really good read.
Yeah, basically, just because you're religious doesn't mean that you can't have success in Hollywood.
So Devon says.
Right, he says. He has his own commandments.
Yes, so he'll be here this morning, and we'll be discussing that book. And what we got coming up in Front Page News,
We are going to be talking about Hugh Hefner. I woke up to the news this morning that Hugh Hefner, at the age of 91, has passed away.
And please, stop with all the stupid-ass messages like, oh, life is young. The good die young. He was 91 years old, damn it.
Who said that?
That's a long life, okay? Jesus Christ. Let's get the show started, man. It's the world's most dangerous morning show, The Breakfast Club. Here's French Montana, Unforgettable. Yes, it's the world's most dangerous morning show, The Breakfast Club. Charlamagne Tha God, Angela Yee. I had no idea DJ Envy was off today.
Yeah, he's off today and tomorrow. It's been on the schedule.
No, okay.
You don't read the schedule.
I don't read nothing in here.
I do. I check it out.
I just be pulling up.
Because I'm always like, who's coming on the show tomorrow?
No. Now it's time for Front Page News.
Yes, Hugh Hefner has been found dead at the age of 91. He died peacefully at home yesterday, surrounded by loved ones. His health had been in serious decline for the past year. He hasn't been seen in public for some time. And he's going to be buried next to Marilyn Monroe, by the way.
Oh, God bless Hugh Hefner. I'll take a nice 91. If I get to 91, I would want to make it to 100. But 91 is a great age to clock out. And I guarantee it's some Playboy bunny waking up this morning happy she doesn't have to serve him sexually, though.
You know, Marilyn Monroe was the first person on the cover of the first ever issue of Playboy.
Really?
Yeah, back in 1953.
Oh, drop on the clues, Mobs of Hugh Hefner. Death is never sad when you're old.
And he actually started the magazine with an $8,000 loan, and that first issue with Marilyn Monroe on the cover sold 50,000 copies.
Oh, God bless him. And it's been on and popping ever since.
Yeah.
I wonder, did he die, like, did he get erections until the day he dies? Like, I would love to know that. Like, that's a conversation I would really like
well,
to know.
Well, you'll never, oh, I guess you could ask someone.
I'm sure one of the Playboy bunnies will tell me. One of them Playboy bunnies that's sad he's gone, but happy he's gone this morning because she was tired of putting her mouth on those wrinkled balls.
Whoa. All right. Well, rest in peace and condolences to his family.
Rest in peace. Rest in poom poom. God bless Hugh Hefner, man. He'll be fine.
Now, the CEO of Facebook, Mark Zuckerberg, has admitted that he was wrong when he dismissed the idea that fake news played a role in last year's presidential election. And, you know, he did a whole long post about it. He said, I want to respond to President Trump's tweet this morning claiming that Facebook has always been against him. Every day I work to bring people together and build a community for everyone. We hope to give all people a voice and create a platform for all ideas. Trump says Facebook is against him. Liberals say we helped Trump. Both sides are upset about ideas and content they don't like. That's what running a platform for all ideas looks like. So he said most people had a voice in this election. More people had a voice in this election than ever before. Billions of interactions, discussing issues. This was the first U.S. election where the internet was a primary way that candidates communicated. Every candidate had a Facebook page to communicate directly with tens of millions of followers. He said campaigns spend hundreds of millions advertising online to get their messages out even further. That's 1,000 times more than any problematic ads we found.
Yeah, because Facebook's not just a platform for Trump supporters. Facebook is a platform for everybody, so everybody can get their messages out. It's just about who the majority of people choose to believe, I guess.
Well, Trump is saying that they were anti-Trump, but then there's information that the Facebook was paid approximately $100,000 during the last election to publish Kremlin-linked ads that were aimed at amplifying divisive social and political messages.
When you have platforms like that, though, you can't say a platform is anti-something because it's going to be people that support you on that platform. It's going to be people that don't support you on that platform. That's the way life works. I believe in the rule of 10. Three people going to like it. Three people not going to like it. Four people just going to be on the
fence
about it.
But they're saying that there were at least 3,000 ads that were linked to a Russian effort to influence the U.S. election also. So I guess those ads also influence people. And they can either publish those ads or not.
Yeah, and liberals should have had ads on Facebook too. They should have had 3,000 ads on Facebook as well.
And also, let's just keep our eye on Puerto Rico as well. Now, you know, they've been talking about not being able to get supplies to the people that need them in Puerto Rico right now and trying to suspend this whole Jones Act, which is a century-old law. It requires that all goods ferried between U.S. ports have to be carried on ships that are built, owned, and operated by Americans. Only problem with that right now is it's very difficult to get critical supplies into Puerto Rico because you can only use all of these ships that were built, owned, and operated by Americans. But a lot of people are saying you have to suspend that act right now just so we can get those supplies over there. It's a state of emergency. Right now, Donald Trump has not waived the rule, but he did say yesterday he is, quote, thinking about it.
So basically, Donald Trump is thinking about helping people in need. Donald Trump is thinking about...
Shouldn't be
about,
a question.
Donald Trump is thinking about getting people the aid they deserve. Donald Trump is protesting Mexico right now. He's taking a knee on Mexico's needs right now?
Puerto Rico. Which is part of the United States.
Okay, well... Either way, he's protesting Puerto Rico.
All right.
Now, we got Get It Off Your Chest coming. 1-800-585-1051. If you got anything you want to vent about this morning, or if you just want to celebrate life this morning, call us. It's the world's most dangerous morning show, The Breakfast Club.
The Breakfast Club. This is your time to get it off your chest, whether you're mad or blessed.
So you better have the same energy.
We want to hear from you on The Breakfast Club.
Good morning. Who's this?
This is Everett from the 614.
What's up, Everett?
Hey, I got to get this off my chest. I just don't understand how all these Trump supporters can just stay behind Trump after he's done repeatedly things of talking about our NFL players. Now he's talking about not helping Puerto Rico. I think America was built on just helping people out. So, I mean, I think he needs to get it together, and I can't see how anybody can still support him.
I totally agree with you, sir. And I think Trump supporters should be ashamed of themselves.
Yeah, I mean, and they call themselves Americans. Americans help each other out. I mean, I don't care who
and
you are.
And help out other people, too. You don't even have to be American. We're just supposed to be helpful.
And it's about humanity. When you're a human being, that's what humanity is all about. Humanity is recognizing somebody else's pain, putting yourself in somebody else's shoes.
If you did vote for Trump and you realize now that you were wrong, it's okay.
It's okay to admit you made a mistake, sir.
You don't have to keep on riding on that train.
That's it. It's fine.
Stick with it.
Yeah. And another thing, I got to...
You only get one, sir.
Let him get his other thing.
You only get one.
This is humanity. You just said it.
Have a blessed day, sir.
Good morning. Who's this?
Good morning, Angela. Snackman, how are you?
Oh, it's time for a joke from Snackman. Snackman is our resident stand-up comedian.
I got one. I got a good one.
Okay.
What do you call a Dallas Cowboy cheerleader breaking a tackle?
What do you call a Dallas Cowboy cheerleader breaking a tackle? What do you call her?
A jukebox.
I'm going to tell you something, Snack Man. Man, I don't know what your plan B is in life, but boy, you need to find it down. You need a plan B through Z, okay?
Hey, Charlamagne, tell your wife I want my money back.
You're still trash as a comedian, sir, okay?
Snack Man, we appreciate you.
Jesus
All right,
Christ.
Get it off your chest. Call us up, 1-800-585-1051. Tell us why you matter. Tell us why you bless. It's The Breakfast Club.
The Breakfast Club. Get it, pick up the mother phone and dial. It's your time to get it off your chest, whether you're mad or blessed.
Say it with your chest.
We want to hear from you on The Breakfast Club.
So you better have the same energy.
Yeah. What's up? Get it off your chest this morning. Who's this?
Denisha.
Denisha.
Yes. I just wanted to talk about the U.S. Virgin Islands also got hit by Hurricane Maria, and I'm not hearing enough coverage about it. I just hear about Puerto Rico. God bless both of them. Mm-hmm. But I would also like to bring awareness to the U.S. Virgin Islands as well, because we are also a U.S. territory.
Yes, absolutely. And not just the U.S. Virgin Islands, but also the British Virgin Islands.
Yes, the British Virgin Islands as well.
Yes.
Did also get affected. But I'm not hearing nearly enough coverage about any of that, but I'm only hearing about Puerto Rico. And I just want to bring awareness to our family, our islands as well.
Are y'all getting aid?
We're not getting nearly enough aid. I don't live in the U.S. Virgin Islands, but I do have family out there. And they're just opened a post office. They just opened one of the post offices out there. They're still working on getting the other post office open because they were dealing with flooding and debris damage and all of that, too, and power outages. So I just wanted to bring a little bit more awareness to that.
Thank you, baby. We appreciate you.
Okay, yeah, let's make sure
y'all.
We do that.
I appreciate y'all. Y'all every morning. Love y'all.
I'm actually going to a fundraiser that's going to be in Antigua, and that is going to be benefiting Dominica and Barbuda. So that's happening November 1st. All right, good morning. Get it off your chest.
Yes, yes. Good morning, Breakfast Club. I'm a huge fan of the show. I called to get something off my chest. Charlamagne, look, this is for you, and I'm not coming at you, but I have two questions for you.
Uh-huh.
One, if you support Collins' decision to take a knee, why aren't you boycotting the NFL?
Because I never said that I was boycotting the NFL. And, you know, I just recently had a conversation with the homie Angela Rye, and she, you know, I was asking what is a boycott going to actually do? Because for me, man, it's not about boycotting the NFL. I just want to continue to bring awareness to the original reason that Colin Kaepernick was kneeling, and that's the injustice that African-Americans are facing at the hands of the police. Like, to me, that's where I want to put my energy at.
But here's the thing, though. The NFL does not support Colin's decision. And so if you talk about supporting black business, supporting black people, then especially if I was Colin, I would be a little upset at you, because I'm like, hey, buddy, you calling me, you giving me information about what I should do, and I should remind people about what this call is originally for. Why aren't you standing with me?
I mean, because it's a lot of confliction with that for me, because it's also brothers like Michael Bennett in the NFL. It's a lot of brothers who use that NFL money to do a lot of things for the community. So it's a lot of brothers in the NFL who actually support the cause. Those brothers that you see kneeling, they're in solidarity with Kaepernick. Would you call them and say, hey, y'all shouldn't play?
And also, is Colin boycotting? Do we know?
I'm pretty sure Colin supports the boycott. I can't say that for sure.
I mean, I don't know for sure, because he hasn't said. Because he still does want to play, right?
But yeah, and I mean, that's the other thing, too. Colin also wants to play. So for me, it's like we're boycotting something until you get in. But once you get in, does that change the culture of the NFL? Like, once again, man, my energy is not focused on that. My energy is focused on bringing awareness to the actual issue that Colin Kaepernick was kneeling for in the first
place. I agree with you 100%, but I still think the way that we get Colin back in the league is to hurt the pockets of the NFL.
But
if we truly want to
stand with him.
Once again, if Colin gets back in the league, what does that do to stop the unarmed killing of African-American men by police officers in America. How does that stop that injustice?
It doesn't stop that. But again, it brings attention to the people who are hurting the decision. Like, in other words, if the NFL's pockets are hurt, they're going to have to make better decisions. And another thing I want to say is that the great thing about Collins' decision or this movement that he's doing or taking the knee in, during the sign is that it's bringing light to a lot of other things. You know, the root of the issue is not police brutality.
What's the root of the issue
is a system of brutality, meaning that it's already exposed coaches. It's exposed our president. We already know that. But what I'm saying is that we have to stand with Collins all the way. I like the fact that DJ Envy said, what are we doing this for? What are we doing this for? We have to make a decision to stand with him wholeheartedly. We can't half do it. We got to go all the way.
If you think that I'm not standing with Colin just because I still choose to watch the NFL, then you're bugging.
I didn't say that. I think
it's two totally different issues. I think, you know, for me, I'm focusing on the issue that Colin Kaepernick originally kneeled for in the first place. The other issue is the NFL not letting Colin in. But once again, even if they sign Colin next week, that still don't change the culture of the NFL. So for me, it's like, yo, if something is wrong, it's wrong. I don't know why we're going to boycott and protest to let Colin be a part of something that we don't think is right.
Well, on the flip side, it's a good thing that we are having these conversations.
We're bringing attention to the people who are saying, look, we don't agree with what you're doing.
You guys can have this conversation offline, but we do appreciate the fact that everyone has their own opinions and that it is bringing attention to some very serious issues.
And I will tell you this.
You're right.
If the Dallas Cowboys have a losing record this year, I'm going to boycott. All right.
See, and that's what I'm saying. You got to be disciplined all the way.
Have a blessed day. We all want the same goal at the end of the day. We all want the same things. Stop worrying about the methods that we use to get there. I want the same thing that Colin wants at the end of the day, and I'm sure I want the same thing that you want. We're always arguing about each other's methods on how to get to the same exact goal. Let's just all focus on getting to the goal.
All right.
So, Angelique, you got rumor report coming up?
Well, you know what? Let's talk about the NFL. We'll tell you who is supposedly going to be performing at the halftime show. There were rumors that Jay-Z turned down the opportunity. We don't even know that that's true. But we'll tell you who is planning to perform. All right.
All right. We got that coming up in a few minutes. It's the world's most dangerous morning show, The Breakfast Club.
The Breakfast Club.
Hey, it's the world's most dangerous morning show, The Breakfast Club. Charlamagne Tha God, Angelique. Where the hell Envy at today?
Africa.
Oh, you went to Africa?
Yes.
You went to Africa?
Yeah, he really did.
Damn. That don't even sound
that
right.
That guy.
Jesus Christ.
He just
and go to Africa. Did he get his shots?
I don't know.
Wow. All right. Well, we're about to talk Young Dolph in the Rumor Report.
Listen up. This
just in. All the gossip. The Rumor Report. Gossip. With Angela Yee.
It's the Rumor Report.
The Breakfast Club.
Well, sources close to Young Dolph said that he was hit at least twice and maybe more during that shooting that just went down. He was hit in one of his arms and his butt as well. So he did undergo surgery Tuesday night. They said he will be okay. His injuries are non-life-threatening. Thank God.
Well, that's good to hear, man. Drop on the clues bombs for Young Dolph. Good guy right there, man.
Now, they have arrested somebody, as we told you previously, and according to the LAPD, they're saying Yo Gotti is now not a person of interest in the shooting.
He probably never was. That probably was just a bad internet rumor. You know, internet starts fires and
there's
can't
all kinds
them.
Of sources
yeah.
that say this and say that. So,
and by sources, they mean social media,
right.
by the way.
Or somebody who don't know. But there were a lot of people that were around when everything went down, so I'm sure that, you know.
Didn't they make an arrest?
Well, yeah, as I said, one person is still arrested. So, but they're saying they are not looking at Yo Gotti right now as a person of interest. Not good. The two of them, imagine that out of all the hotels you could stay at in L.A., they both happen to be staying at the same hotel at the Lowe's.
I just want them to put a period on whatever it is they got going on.
Like, now this is too much.
There shouldn't be no retaliation. Like, it comes a point in time where enough is enough. Nobody's dead.
Right.
Okay?
Everybody's getting money.
And all y'all doing is losing money with situations like this because now lawyer fees got to be paid
and
imagine
you
bails,
have
medical expenses.
Shows that you want to do, but places might not want to book you
that
just because of shootings and things like that. So you got to think about your career and longevity.
I don't know if this has anything to do with Gotti. I don't know if this got... I know if it's between Gotti and Dolph. I just hate to see when two cool people can't sit down and, like, communicate with each other. Both those brothers are cool.
Or at
individuals.
Least if y'all don't like each other, just ignore each other.
Mm-hmm.
It don't have to come to all that. Okay, Young Thug, in the meantime, also had gotten arrested. He got arrested Saturday in Georgia. That's because he was pulled over for tinted windows. Now, they did search his car, and it smelled like weed. They found drugs, two guns, and almost $50,000 in cash. So he was arrested. So were the two people that were in his car at the time. But now he is facing a felony charge for gun possession, a felony charge for drug possession, for narcotics and liquid codeine that they found in his car, and a felony charge for weed. And he has to go. He went to court yesterday. He posted bond. Now he's out of jail.
I will never understand the logic of being a celebrity and riding that dirty.
And unless it wasn't his and the people in the car had it, and he didn't know.
I don't even care. I'm not even going to be around it. I'm not riding dirty, and I'm on a different level. First of all, you shouldn't ride dirty, period. Okay? Like, there's no need to be taking penitentiary chances when you're out here getting all of this legal money, man. Like, it makes no sense.
All right, now Pitbull is doing his part. Now, we told you earlier, it's been really difficult to get supplies and things that people need over to Puerto Rico just because they're not trying to waive this law that says that everything that you send over has to be on American-built ships.
Hey, but never fear, Donald Trump is considering helping.
He's considering it now, yes. But Pitbull is doing what he can. Now, according to the Congresswoman Jennifer Gonzalez in Puerto Rico, she said on Twitter, "Gracias al cantante Pitbull prestar avión privado para trasladar pacientes de cáncer."
Okay, all right.
Okay.
There's no subtitles on the damn radio. What the hell did you just say?
She said, thanks to Pitbull for sending his private jet to help the cancer patients in Puerto Rico. So right now what he's doing is he's lending his plane so that cancer patients can be transported to the U.S. to get the chemotherapy that they need.
Drop on the clues bombs with Pitbull. Classic.
Classic Pitbull.
I know Pitbull for a long time. I talk about it in my book, Black Privilege, Opportunity Comes to Those Who Create It. I knew Pitbull for a long time. I knew Pitbull when he was doing promos on the radio in Miami.
Actually, I knew Pitbull for a long time, too, because when I used to work for Eminem for his clothing line, they went on tour. Pitbull and Lil Jon and all of them were on tour with Eminem and 50 Cent.
Oh, yeah. I knew Pitbull before he was even signed to Lil Jon. I remember when Pitbull...
Good times.
I was literally with him when they were pressing up his first single, and that single ended up on some Fast and Furious soundtrack.
But he always been a real cool...
Always.
Great person.
Always.
All right, now TLC has had to postpone their European tour, and that is because T-Boz had a neck injury. They were supposed to kick everything off October 16th in Hamburg, Germany, but unfortunately she has some cervical disc problems in her spine. They have advanced to the point of her having to have significant pain due to nerve compression. So
what the hell does that mean?
She's now working with her orthopedic surgeon, who says that she has to postpone their tour.
Your neck can just give out on you?
I don't know how it happened, but she's been in severe pain, and it's been for some time now, so she's suffering. And, you know, T-Boss was just up here promoting her book as well, so.
Yeah, I mean, I've heard of, like, your back giving out on you, but your neck? Your neck can just stop working?
Well, I don't know that it just stopped working. I don't know if something happened where she injured her neck.
What the hell are you laughing at, white man? Stop laughing at black people's pain.
All right, and Justin Timberlake is supposed to be performing at the halftime show for the Super Bowl. Never forget the last time he performed and made his appearance at the Super Bowl.
And if he wants to make it right, JT will bring Janet Jackson out this year. Janet Jackson on tour. She back in shape. Bring her out there for the Super Bowl. Oh, damn, Janet can't do that because she got a boycott, don't she?
Yeah. And
all right. She come out there and take a knee?
Is this a difficult time, though, for somebody to be performing at the Super Bowl halftime show? Because now Justin Timberlake's getting criticism.
We don't know how things will be by February, though.
Yeah, we
don't
know.
You never know. Like, we don't know. Colin might get signed by February. You
maybe he'll be
well,
like,
hopefully, well, hopefully, but no, he won't get signed by February. But maybe he'll get signed at some point this year, so it'll be okay by February.
All right, well, I'm Angela Yee, and that is your rumor reports. Now, Charlamagne.
Mm-hmm. Hold on, I'm putting chapstick on. I can't talk with a dry lip.
I'm
not Paris Denard from CNN.
We have a guest coming up next.
I can't speak with ashy lips. Yes, Devon Franklin, he'll be here. He has a new book out called The Hollywood Commandments, the Guide to Achieving Secular Success. Yes, that's what it's called.
Are you sure that's what it's called?
Yes, I am positive that's what it's called. Devon Franklin, Hollywood Commandments, a Spiritual Guide to Secular Success. That's what it's called.
A Spiritual Guide to Secular
that's
Success.
That's exactly what I just said. Yes,
Devon. That's not what you said at first.
Devon Franklin will be here next hour. So he's also married to Megan Good. He's a Hollywood producer. He's got a lot of really good things to say. He's a person that I enjoy his wisdom, and I think you will enjoy it too. So stay tuned. It's the world's most dangerous morning show, The Breakfast Club. It's the world's most dangerous morning show, The Breakfast Club. DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We have a special guest in the building, author of the book, The Hollywood Commandments, Devon Franklin. And I want to start off by saying thank you.
You're welcome.
The reason I say thank you is because my wife saw his wife's hair.
Yes.
And she wanted to get her hair like that.
Megan Good.
Megan yes. Good. Mm-hmm. And so she tried to make an appointment, and they were booked for months. Like, literally months. So I called him, and I said, hey, my brother, I said, you know, happy wife, happy life. Can you look out for me just a little bit?
Can you make something happen?
Yeah.
And he said, I got you.
And he made a phone call.
Made a phone call.
There you go.
Got her in the next week.
And you flew her out to L.A. and got it done.
We don't have to say all that, but yes, it got done. We don't have to say
that. Wow,
he got money. Hey, happy wife, happy life.
Man, you got to go to L.A. for that.
It's the full dread. They stay for a while.
They do. Yeah. They do, and Dr. Carey does an awesome job.
Dr. Carey, absolutely. Dr. Carey, absolutely.
Absolutely.
Your book, The Hollywood Commandments, one thing that you talk about early on, which I love and I always believe this, is that you always have to treat everybody well, just no matter who they are, what their position is. And you discuss being an intern and actually going in and helping out the assistants.
Yes.
Who are the gatekeepers. And a lot of people don't understand that.
Yeah, you know, I mean, I started as an unpaid intern working for Will Smith, you know, back when I was 18 years old. And what I realized, you know, first day I showed up, you know, I didn't know what to do. I didn't necessarily have any instructions. So my first thing was, why don't I serve? You know, let me go to the assistants. Let me find out, what do you need? You know, how can I do your filing? Get your coffee order. Go and get your lunch order. And that was what I did day by day. And by servicing the assistants, that's what ultimately helped me get the relationship, you know, with the principals of the company, Benny Medina, James Lasseter, which ultimately helped me get the relationship with people like Will Smith.
Right.
Because too often, you know, people want to get to the person that they deem in control. And as a result, they look over those that work for them.
Sometimes you're rude to people. Sometimes people are rude to assistants.
Right.
They act like you're nothing. Mm-mm. You don't mean anything. They don't know your name.
No.
They treat you like crap, and those are the people that can say, I think you should sit down and talk with him.
Absolutely. The gatekeepers are the ones that really have the control no matter where you work. And also, just as a matter of principle and character, why not treat everybody the same? Let's not be in a place, because as I've learned, being in Hollywood for 20 years, too often you make a misjudgment, or I can make a misjudgment. I don't think I need this person,
right.
So then I treat them relative to who I think they are, not knowing the same person I'm looking over now is going to be the person in control not only 5 years from now, 2 years from now. Well, and I've seen that happen multiple times in my career. That's why I advise, treat everybody the same.
Right.
With
like
love
David
and care.
David wait. Off in the mailroom.
That's true. But we're doing our listeners an injustice. They're like, who the hell is this guy? Like, first and foremost.
Yeah, who is his brother? Like, who are you?
Who are you? Who are you? You're a Hollywood producer.
Yes.
Motivational speaker.
Yes. Yes.
Author.
You know, I produced a film that came out last year, Miracles from Heaven. My next film is called The Star. Mm-hmm. It's an animated story of the nativity, but from the animal's point of view. I got Tyler Perry and Oprah and Anthony Anderson and Tracy Morgan in that. I'm also Megan Good's husband, as we mentioned earlier. I say that proudly.
Word.
And, you know, I'm here to talk about my book. You know, it's my third book. And I've been in Hollywood for 20 years, since the age of 18. Mm-hmm. And I started, you know, people, as a Christian growing up, people said, oh, you can't go to Hollywood. Mm-hmm. You know, you can't make it. That is going to be a place that's going to not only take your faith, but it's going to change who you are. Mm-hmm. And I didn't believe that. And so I've been in Hollywood for 20 years, and I really wanted to write a book to show that no matter what industry you're in, no matter what you do, you can hold on to who you are and become successful.
Because you are a minister,
you know,
right?
You know, Charlamagne had a crush on Megan Good.
No, I didn't know that. I didn't know that.
First of all,
what was the story? Uh-oh. Now I'm getting all the tea.
You can't just say Charlamagne. Every black man in America had a crush on Megan Good, bro.
Black man in America.
Like, stop it.
Yeah, tell us this story.
What happened?
You had a club of parents to do, right?
I never spoke to Megan in my life.
And Charlamagne never goes out, never goes to the club, but Megan Good had a club of parents.
Yeah.
Charlamagne goes to the club, right? He has his flyers gear on.
First of all, you're lying, because we didn't even know Megan was going to be in the club.
You didn't know Megan was going to be in the club.
That is not true.
He didn't know Megan. I thought you don't remember the story.
I remember vividly. That's the one time I've ever seen Megan Good in my life.
And he had this big crush in there. He had his fly suit on.
Okay.
He used to wear a jean suit, right? Jean jacket suit.
Yeah.
He
had on a jean suit.
Yeah. Jean suit.
Taking it all the way back.
And Tim's. He had Tim's on. He went to the club. But he was stuck on her.
Yeah.
And then she pulled out a cigarette and started smoking.
Yeah.
It broke his heart.
Oh, yeah. No, because see, here's the thing. I remember this because when we were in New York promoting The Wait, mm-hmm. we happened to be listening to you all on the way to go do an interview.
Oh,
and he mentioned this.
Yep.
And you know, immediately she was like, oh, you know, so we called in. I don't know if you guys remember that.
We called in.
You know, just wanted to set the record straight. So,
but she doesn't smoke anymore, does she?
She does not. She does not.
You prayed it out of her.
No, I didn't. Man, listen. No, I didn't, man. That was her decision, and I was completely supportive of it.
But you are a minister, right? Aren't you?
I do.
Oh, yeah.
I'm a minister, definitely.
How does that work? That's why I love the subtitle of the book, A Spiritual Guide to Secular Success, because a lot of people feel like you can't have both.
Yeah, and that's why I wrote this book, mm-hmm. because too often, you know, some people are too spiritual, but they don't recognize the value of the secular, and some people are secular and don't recognize the value of the spiritual.
Mm-hmm.
And what I realize is that I believe success is a combination of both.
Mm-hmm.
And too often people that are spiritual think that, oh, there's nothing I can learn from a secular environment. And growing up in the church, you know, I was taught to fear the secular environment. But what I've learned is I've seen God do more in the secular environment than I've seen him do in the church.
True.
Because when I learn what matters spiritually, and then I apply it in a secular environment that may not even like my faith, and I become successful there, that is why I wanted to write the book, to show that you can actually do both. It's a matter of how you use the strategy in a secular environment and combine that with whatever your spiritual teaching is.
There's so many questions I want to ask you, man. Like, even in your book, The Weight, you talk about as a man, if you can be disciplined in your sexual life, there's nothing you can't do. And we see so many men getting caught up in that arena nowadays. Like, how did you get that scrimp to just be more disciplined, I guess, sexually?
Sorry, that was funny the way you asked that. I was like, discipline sexually. Okay.
Sexually at the end.
You know what
right,
I mean?
Right, exactly. It was a sexually at the end.
Because you can be disciplined about a lot of things.
Yes.
The gym, whatever.
Okay, but see, here's the thing. I think too often we compartmentalize discipline.
Mm-hmm.
I believe either you are disciplined or you're not. Mm-hmm. I talk about in the book that, you know, your discipline actually contributes to your destiny. You know, growing up, you know, growing up in the church and really believing in God and really being committed to my faith, you know, I was taught to wait until marriage and, you know, got in high school and didn't wait and was in college and wasn't waiting. But for me personally, there was a war in my spirit because I was presenting one image to the people I was talking to and preaching to, and then I was living something else.
Mm.
So in my early 20s, because I was tired of living one thing and doing something different, I just said, I got to be who I am and I have to take this commitment. I don't know when I'm getting married, but the discipline was, I want to be the same person that shows up to talk to you to be the same person that goes home, because I did not want somebody else to show up and somebody else to be at home. Mm-hmm. So that idea and desire to be who I really was is what promoted me to get that discipline. Now, was it easy? No. But here was the thing that kept me in it until Megan and I got married. I kept thinking, at the end of my life, if God said to me, here's what I wanted to do in your life, but because you had no discipline in that area, here's all I could do in your life.
Ooh.
Would all the women that I would have exchanged my full destiny for have been worth it? And for me personally, I said no. It wouldn't have been worth it. So that's what kept me in it. And then also, you know, growing up, you know, my father died when I was 9 years old. You know, he was 36 when he died of a heart attack. You know, he struggled with alcoholism and different women, and my uncles did the same thing. And when I looked at just the destruction that no discipline had in my family, and then I was raised by my mother, my grandmother, and my grandmother's seven sisters, most of whom are still alive. And I saw how no discipline in their men's lives hurt them. And I just said, you know, look, I'm not going to get on my soapbox, but let me be a committee of one to try to get discipline in this area and see if it can lay a healthier foundation for my life.
All right, we got more with Devon Franklin coming up. We're going to talk about practicing celibacy and his Hollywood commandments coming up next on The Breakfast Club.
The Breakfast Club.
It's the world's most dangerous morning show, The Breakfast Club. DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God, and we have Devon Franklin in the building, author of The Hollywood Commandments. And you were just talking about practicing celibacy. How long did you wait to have sex before you met Miss Megan Good, though?
Okay, we're going to talk about this, and we're going to get to the commandments. I waited 10 years. 10 years, believe it or not. I waited, literally, it was like 1 year for every commandment.
10 years?
10 years, man. 10
not
years.
Not even lotion in the...
Man, listen.
A lot of prayer,
listen.
And masturbation.
No, Charlamagne. See, I knew you were going to go there. No, listen.
Oh,
listen, man. Listen. Come on now. Come on, listen. It's about discipline. It's about staying focused. And for me, again, it was about, you know, Megan was waiting when her and I got together. And that was one of the reasons why we got together, because we both were on the same page, spiritually, and we both wanted the same things out of life. And that's what, you know, really helped lay the foundation of our courtship and our marriage. We've been married 5 years. And it's also one of the reasons why I wanted to write the book, because I do see the value of discipline in your personal life showing up in your professional life. Because I believe that when you practice, no matter what your discipline is, when you practice that off camera, it shows up on camera.
Is it true that you didn't want to date somebody in Hollywood because of your faith?
No, I didn't want to date an actress. I never probably dated with people in Hollywood. It was an actress.
Why an actress specifically?
Man, because listen, in my experience in Hollywood, you know, most actresses that I had come across were crazy. Even the actresses will say they're crazy, right? Because Megan's like, yeah, she's crazy. So it was the number one thing on my list. I'm like, no, you know, I just don't. And also, I was an executive for about 10 years at Sony Pictures. And I didn't want to be the guy that was known for dating the talent.
Right.
I didn't want that reputation. Mm-hmm. So when Megan
started looking at you saying, oh, you're using that to get, you're using your position to get
right. Well, there you go. there it is. Right. So I didn't want that reputation. So I that was like one of the things on my list. And it was fascinating that when God brought Megan to me, one of my first issues was like, oh, God, I told you I didn't want an actress.
Mm-hmm. And he said, like, here's a joke for you.
Well, not only was here's a joke, he's like, cool, man, listen, you can marry your list, but here's the one I know is for you.
Right.
So either you can either put your list on the altar and sacrifice that and accept who I'm bringing to you and know that she is who I've created for you to be with, or you can try to just stay there and marry your list. And what I realized was like, you know what? The list is not going to bring me happiness.
Wow.
Because too often we have these ideals. Mm-hmm. Ideals are ideals,
but they're
not reality. Tell these women.
No, because seriously, women be having lists, and I'm like,
you don't think men have lists too? He just said he had a list.
And guess what? He had to rip his list up. Everything that was on his list, he had to rip up and pay attention to what God actually bought him. So many people miss their blessings because they tell him, say, oh, this is a good plan, but it's not God's plan for you.
Yeah, no, it's so true. And sometimes we worship the ideal. And the danger with the ideal is that whoever comes to us is a real person.
Mm.
They may not meet everything on our ideal. So if our ideal becomes the expectation and the standard by which we judge them, then we prevent ourselves from actually loving them unconditionally. I have to love somebody for where they are, when they are. And Megan and I coming together really helped me do that because I had to sacrifice the list and say, well, I love her, I appreciate her, and I'm going to embrace her for everything that she is.
Now the Ten Commandments of Life-Changing Success.
Yes.
Let's run through some of these commandments. The first one is your prayers are not enough.
Your prayers alone are not enough.
Your prayers alone are not enough.
So many times I see people praying, but then they don't get up and prepare for what they just prayed for.
Faith without works is dead.
There it is. Faith without works is dead, but faith with works is alive.
Mm.
And I have seen the value of praying and then getting up and having an expectation of what God is going to do. And that preparation looks like hard work, showing up every day. My original dream when I was a kid was to have my own production company. So at 18 years old, I go to L.A., I get the internship, working for Will Smith and Benny Medina. And at 18 years old, I was praying and believing that I was one day going to get the production company. It took 18 years, 157,000 hours, 6,500 days for me to finally get the very thing I had been praying and preparing for, 18 years of preparation. Mm. And the reason why I wrote this commandment is I see too many people not really preparing, showing up, having the right attitude, making sure that you're being of service. And so I wanted to write commandment one, your prayers alone are not enough. Not saying prayers don't work. Prayers do work. So you got to pray and then you prepare.
Right.
And the combination is what will create the success that most of us are looking for.
I love you have to carry a crown.
Yes.
Before you can wear one.
Yes.
Yes, sir.
Man, this was straight for this generation.
Mm-hmm.
Again, I have seen so many people in this generation want success and they want it right now. Mm-hmm. They want to microwave it. They want overnight success. They want the crown. They want the throne, but they don't want the process that is required to achieve those things.
Mm.
What I have realized working in Hollywood, that when you are of service to other people, you help somebody else carry their crown, which prepares you to ultimately wear your own.
Absolutely.
And I really wanted to talk about the value of service. And we talked about earlier about me being an intern. Every single level that I have been at has required service. What is the need and how can I become excellent in meeting it? And that is what has helped me go to the next level. And I know that service still works because service is when you do it well. Think about it. When you guys have interns in here, the ones that are excellent, you're
Absolutely.
Like, yo, I'm a call for them. I'm either going to bring them back to work for me because excellence rises to the top.
I was just with my former intern yesterday.
Is that right?
Yeah, she works for OVO now.
Oh, wow.
Over at in the Warner Music Building. And I was just, and she was just talking about how we met and how she was such a great intern that whenever an opportunity came up, I was like, oh, she'll be great for that job. She was working with me, but I felt like I needed her to be able to, do something that was going to let her escalate to that level. So,
but because she made such an impression on you,
Absolutely.
And because she helped meet your
needs. I still have interns that I still recommend for things whenever anything comes up.
Because
people are always looking for, it is really hard because you have those interns that come in, like you talked about how you went in, you didn't have anything to do, nobody was telling you what to do. You have to find those things and go out and ask people, what do you need?
Yes, and that is so important because I see so many, we live in a generation now where people are changing jobs more frequently than ever before because there's this desire that if I don't have it quick, then I look at myself in a negative way, and it's just not true. I believe that patience works. I believe that commitment works. And there is a process to success that cannot be rushed.
I've been talking to these kids so much about that because in my book I talk about putting the weed in the bag, and that's basically just respecting the process.
Mm-hmm.
Like nothing goes from zero to 60.
Nothing.
I think people see some overnight success stories or what they think are overnight success stories and feel like, well, why did that person manage to get famous so quickly?
But they always told our generation it takes 10 years to become an overnight success.
Right.
That's what they always told us.
They don't see the part. They don't see the grind. They just see the
Instagram.
Glamour. That's all they see.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And they say, okay, I want that tomorrow.
Right.
You know?
Right. They see the tree. Right. They see the tree and they say, oh, that's a great tree, but you have no idea how deep the roots go.
Absolutely.
The tree cannot go up until the roots go down. And that's what this commandment, you know, is all about. And when I think about this, you know, going, what also inspired me was the story of King David in the Bible.
Mm.
King David was anointed the king, 1 Samuel chapter 16, and he doesn't go sit on the throne. He goes from being anointed the new king to going back and working with the sheep. And then King Saul, the current king, has a need, and he hires David to be his, basically his armor bearer, his apprentice, play the harp. So it was fascinating to me that here is the next king. And instead of going to sit on the throne, he is working in the court of the king. Why? Because he got exposure to the job he was ultimately going to do.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what this commandment is all about.
We have more with Devon Franklin coming up next. It's the world's most dangerous morning show, The Breakfast Club. It's the world's most dangerous morning show, The Breakfast Club. DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God, and we have Devon Franklin in the studio, author of The Hollywood Commandments. Can you explain the commandment, your amnesia is an asset?
Yes, mm-hmm. Yes.
I forget everything.
Good. Perfect. That's why you're so successful.
He conveniently forgets certain things.
Right. Like the jean suit.
What y'all talking about?
So amnesia is an asset. I wrote this commandment because too often we hold on to our past mistakes. We hold on to our past failures. We hold on to the milk that spilled yesterday. It spilled. It's over. Be done with it. Hollywood is a place that practices amnesia.
Yep.
Every single week, there are movies that come out at the box office with stars that the movies, for whatever reason, don't work.
Mm-hmm.
Does that studio stop making films? No. Oh, last week our movie didn't work? Oh, well, let me show you this movie. Oh, this movie's not going to work? Let me show you this movie. And too often, we stay in the past instead of getting back to the future, getting ready for our moment and also preparing for the future. So I wanted to talk about amnesia so we can start forgetting.
Right.
In order to be successful, you got to forget. Oh, did I mess up yesterday? Oh, sorry. Well, I'm here today.
Keep it moving.
I'm ready for what's going to happen tomorrow. And also, I think that too often when it comes to staying in the past, this idea of amnesia is very cathartic because too often we think we failed. And as a result, we color ourselves as a failure. I don't believe that. I don't believe that there's any failures when you're operating in your purpose. And I talk about this in the book. Setbacks are actually setups.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So anything you've listed as a failure, go back and reframe that. Call it a setup. Every time I saw something that did not work, I said, you know what? That's not a failure. That actually set me up because it helped me learn more about myself.
There you go.
Learn more about what didn't work, what might work. Help me know who to work with and who not to work with. So I wrote amnesia as an asset so that we can quickly forget, so we can be in the moment and maximize whatever moment God may bring to us, specifically in our career and in our life.
That's why I say there's no such thing as losses. It's just lessons.
Yes.
That's what the L should stand for.
Yes.
You say, oh, I took an L. Yeah, you took a lesson from a situation that may have not went the way you wanted it to go.
Totally agree. And also, we got to give ourselves a break. No one is perfect. We all, you know, make mistakes. And the best way to come back from a mistake is to learn from it and to apply what we learn to become better in the future.
Now, one thing that I appreciated was you said people are fickle.
Yes.
Don't take it personally.
Yes.
And that is so true because, I'm going to read it, people can change on a dime depending on how much they think they need you at any given moment. Don't base your self-worth on attention or approval from anyone you know.
Yes. Oh, man. I could talk about this book all day long because these are the lessons that I've learned. You know, in being in Hollywood, Hollywood is a place with incredibly fickle people.
Mm-hmm.
And there'll be one moment where it's like, yo, they're blowing you up. They want you to come over. They want you to hang out. Mm-hmm. And the next moment, you can't get them on the phone.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And if you base your value on how people treat you in any given moment, they then control your happiness and your peace. Because it'll go up and down based upon how much they want to deal with you or not. So I wrote this to say, we are the talent. We are who we are. We were that person when we were created. And no one outside of us has the ability to define us. And so I really wanted people to know, listen, you're going to be working for some people and they are fickle, right? Because there's stuff going on in their life. Who knows what it may be? But do not allow your self-worth to be dictated by somebody in a moment.
When you're doing well, when you have the top album out and your phone is blowing up,
right,
the top movies out,
right,
but then let you have a flop.
There you go. There
and
you go.
And those same people that were blowing you up, you can't get them on the phone.
There you go. And even just on a more, and even a practical level, it's like there are people out there right now. It's like they have friends.
Mm-hmm.
You know, for whatever reason, this friend invited them to an event, and the next week they didn't. And they found out about it on social media. And they're like, yo, what was wrong with me? And so I wanted to write this commandment, this part of the commandment, to say, yo, look, you are who you are. You're great. You're great all by yourself. Please find the value with the person that looks back at you in the mirror. And that's it.
Mm-hmm.
Don't let other people have access to try to emotionally, you know, be the barometer by which you judge yourself. You're great by yourself.
Yeah, my dad used to always say, you're never as good as they say you are, and you're never as bad as they say you are.
Right.
That's just like how I like to keep it.
Right, right there.
Because if you live for the compliments, you'll die by the criticism. So
there you go. Exactly, exactly. I talk about that in the Fame chapter where it's about the dangers of praise addiction.
Mm-hmm.
Is that too often we are performing for other people's praise instead of feeling good about who we are, knowing that we are who we are, whether we get that praise or not.
I could literally listen to you talk all day, man, but I know you don't have all day.
Thank you.
Please go pick this up.
Thank you.
Yeah, we got copies of ours yesterday, but I actually sat down and read most of it last night.
Wow. Thank you, Angela.
And it was so very inspirational.
Thank you. Thank you.
All
God
right.
bless you all.
Well, Franklin, the Hollywood Commandments, it's Breakfast Club. Good morning.
Right on.
The Breakfast Club.
It's the world's most dangerous morning show, The Breakfast Club. Charlamagne Tha God, Angela Yee. Why is it always so damn cold in the studio, man? Jesus Christ.
Goodness gracious.
My nipples
are freezing.
Hard.
I see them.
Now, what we got coming up in the Rumor Report, Yee?
We're talking about the Forbes as the highest paid hip-hop artist.
Go.
This is the Rumor Report with Angela Yee. Rumor has it. Rumor, rumor, rumor. On the Breakfast Club.
So listen up. Nah.
You don't tease like Envy. He said go.
Well, sorry, Yee. I'll try to tease you like Envy later on. Show.
What are we talking about? Go.
Jesus Christ.
All right, now let's talk about this Forbes list. Who is the highest paid hip-hop figure? Of course, once again, is Diddy with $130 million.
Drop on the clues bombs for that rich Negro Diddy.
Now, who do you think is number two on the list?
Jay-Z or Dr. Dre?
Wrong. Drake is number two.
On what?
This Forbes list, he made $94 million last year, and that's because of streaming, also his tour and his albums that came out, his deals with Sprint, with Nike, and all of that.
So you're telling me for the first time ever that I can remember, Jay-Z, Diddy, and Dr. Dre aren't the top three?
That's correct. Drake made it into number two, and Jay-Z made $42 million last year, and then Dr. Dre follows that with $34.5 million, and then rounding off the top five is Chance the Rapper, who made $33 million.
Or drop one of clues bombs for all those rich Negroes. Okay.
So Chance the Rapper is a newcomer on the list, but so is Lil Yachty. Lil Yachty actually clocked in, just made it into the top 20. He made $11 million last year.
Dropping a cool bomb for Lil Yachty.
And again, Nicki Minaj is the only woman on the list. She came in at number 16, making $16 million.
Dropping a cool bomb for Nicki Minaj. I like seeing black people make money, goddammit.
All right. Now, let's discuss New Year's Eve. If you're trying to figure out what am I going to do for New Year's Eve, you might want to go see Dave Chappelle performing live. He's going to be in L.A. at the Forum. And guess who's going to be doing music alongside him? A good friend of his, John Mayer. John Mayer actually shared the event. It's called Controlled Danger. He said, Los Angeles, New Year's Eve. Join Dave and I as we send off 2017 and set off 2018.
I don't know if I want to bring my New Year's Eve in with John Mayer music. You got to get somebody a little bit more upbeat. I like the Continuum album, but John Mayer makes some dark records. I need somebody a little bit more upbeat for New Year's Eve.
Right, well,
you know what I'm saying?
They're appealing to, I guess, a very broad audience between the two of them. All right, Irv Gotti versus 50 Cent. This is never, ever, ever going to stop.
Nope, they're going to be 70 years old in wheelchairs bumping each other.
Now, 50 Cent was up here yesterday because 50 Central debuted on BET last night. And, of course, he was talking about his deal at BET. And as you know, Tales, which is Irv Gotti's series, is also on BET. They actually ran an ad for Tales during 50 Central last night.
As they should.
And here's what 50 Cent had to say about Tales.
This is the first time you and Irv been under, like, the same umbrella with something, right?
You know, they'll be gone. They won't be there long. You know,
I like Tails,
I have full on intentions. Listen, I have full on intentions of removing that.
You
there's some adjustments to
you
be
don't
made.
Like Tails? Tails is a good show, man.
Fifth is crazy.
Cool man. Idea, not well executed.
So you watched it?
Yeah, of course I watched. I watch everything when someone's involved I don't like.
It's very hard for us cancers not to be petty. Irv's a cancer, 50's a cancer, I'm a cancer. It's very hard for us not to be petty.
Well, Irv did respond, of course.
Of course he did.
He said, all BS aside, I want to thank this N-word. He promote my ish better than BT. And it's obvious you love Tills. You just can't say it. Obviously. You say great concept, poor execution. Ha ha, F out of here. Everyone, right after the Hip Hop Awards on October 10th, my enemy's favorite show returns. Tills, he did a lot of ha ha ha's in this. I'm not going to read them all. 10 p.m. Tell a friend to tell a friend. Tills is back. And as far as it's stopping, the opposite is happening. Tills is expanding all music genres, pop, rock, country, R&B, gospel, and across the globe. Tills Latin, Tills Asia, Tills UK, Tills Germany, with the Viacom system. Like you said, I can't say this.
The episodes,
it's a dope concept, right?
The episodes of Tales that I've seen, I've enjoyed. I saw the F the Police one. I saw the I Got a Story to Tell one. I saw the one about the Meek Mill record. I enjoy Tales.
And he ends it with, oh, and I am doing Nas's I Gave You Power in season 2. I thought of that already. Whore, LOL.
You called him a whore?
Yeah.
Jesus Christ, Irv.
So harsh.
Whore?
Yeah.
Didn't you say whole ass N-word?
No,
you
he said whore. Whore.
He spelled it W-H-O-R-E?
Yes, he spelled it properly.
Wow.
How would you have spelled it?
No, that's just a different level of petty when you call a grown man a whore. All right?
Whole All right, well, in case you missed 50 Central last night, here was one of the highlights from the show, and this is where they had people auditioning. It's like they pranked them, and they had these people who were Asian, white, saying the N-word.
Whatever your next line, he said you have one more line?
These cracker-ass crackers got a tripping up. These cracker-ass crackers got a tripping.
These cracker-ass crackers got a tripping up.
Okay.
Is it not supposed to say that?
It's kind of less about what it says on the paper and more about the fact that you just clearly just spat it out like you were comfortable saying that line.
It doesn't say the ER, it says.
So that's different.
I don't know, isn't it?
That segment was funny.
That was
Drop
funny.
On the clues bombs. That segment was funny. All right? I thoroughly enjoyed that for a number of reasons.
All right. Well, I'm Angela Yee, and that is your rumor report.
I love hearing crack-ass cracker on national TV.
All right.
Yes.
Well, Charlamagne.
Hi.
Hey, how you doing this morning?
I'm doing great.
Now, I know it's about that time.
What time is it?
It's almost time for that donkey of the day. Now, Charlamagne, who are you giving that donkey to?
Donkey of the day is going
That's how you tease.
Going after four young individuals from Mississippi. We need them to come to the front of the congregation. We'd like to have a word with them. And it might even be an opportunity to play a great game that I love to play on this here morning show called Guess What Race It Is? It's the world's most dangerous morning show, The Breakfast Club. Don't go anywhere, guys. We'll be right back after these messages.
Charlamagne, say the game. Donkey of the day. Charlamagne.
You are a donkey.
It's time for Donkey of the Day.
Donkey of the Day does not discriminate.
I might not have the song of the day, but I got the donkey of the day.
So if you ever feel I need to be a donkey, man, hit me with the heat.
Yeah, the Breakfast Club, bitches.
Who's Donkey of the Day today?
Well, Ed Sheeran, Donkey of the Day for Thursday, September 28th, goes to four young men from Mississippi identified as Levante Ellington, Travis Baker, Maurice Robertson, and Jaquez Williams. Let the record show that if you type Levante and Jaquez into your laptop, the red squiggly underline immediately appears beneath their names. That has nothing to do with this story, just an observation I wanted to make. Now, these four young men are inmates at the Holmes Humphreys County Correctional Facility in Lexington, Mississippi. But for a brief moment in time last week, they weren't inmates. The reason they weren't inmates in this correctional facility last week was because they escaped, ladies and gentlemen. Yes, all four of these individuals escaped from the Holmes Humphreys County Correctional Facility in Mississippi. Now, I've been to the county jail several times. Salute to the Berkeley County Detention Center in Monk's Corner, South Carolina. Salute to the Bergen County Detention Center in Fort Lee, New Jersey. And salute to some jail I was locked up in when I got arrested for driving under suspension once in New York. I don't remember the name. But the point I'm trying to make is when you're in the county, that's not like a final destination, okay? You can be sitting in the county waiting to go to court or you can be in the county for some hours, some days, a weekend, some months, but you're probably about to get a bond in the county. So what would make someone, actually four individuals, break out of a county jail? Well, let's go to WBLT-TV for the report, please.
Travis Baker, Levante Ellington, and Maurice Robertson let it be known Tuesday that they were not happy to see our cameras. The police say last week the inmates, along with Jaquez Williams, allegedly escaped their cell, jumped the fence of this jail, and then walked less than a mile to this Dollar General.
They stole cigarettes, cigarette lighters, cell phones, and that's items that they feel like that they can sell in jail.
After grabbing the items out of the store, the chief says instead of them him making a run for it, they snuck back in jail unnoticed. Jaquez Williams even bonded out for another charge.
Levante Ellington, Travis Baker, Maurice Robertson, and Jaquez Williams broke out of the county jail in order to break into a Dollar General, then broke back in the county jail to sell the cigarettes, cigarette lighters, and phones they stole from Dollar General.
Those are hustlers.
I had no idea Dollar General sells cell phones. I think I may have noticed once or twice when I was in there, but never really paid much attention because why would I? Jaquez Williams even bonded out for another charge before authorities figured out what had happened. So, Jaquez, you broke out of the county jail, even though you were soon to get a bond. You know, there's no need to focus on why these four individuals are getting a hee-haw. Some donkey today's just sell themselves. I personally think this is an opportunity to play one of my favorite games. Guess what race it is? We have our lovely interns about to walk in the room to participate in this lovely game. We have Stella. Good morning, Stella. We have Brandon and a new intern. What's your name again? Kendra. Drop one of Clues Bombs for our lovely interns. Now, Angela Yee will be participating as well, and our boy Op Mezy. While playing in this game, please remember, niggotry and black are two different categories, and in the matter of race-related crimes, crack-ass, crack, and white are two different categories. Let's play the news clip again. Put the headphones on so y'all can hear the news clip, guys. Okay? Put the headphones on. Stella, can you hear? All right. Now, play the news clip again, please.
Travis Baker, Levante Ellington, and Maurice Robertson let it be known Tuesday that they were not happy to see our cameras. The police say last week the inmates, along with Jaquez Williams, allegedly escaped their cell, jumped the fence of this jail, and then walked less than a mile to this Dollar General.
They stole cigarettes, cigarette lighters, cell phones, and that's items that they feel like that they can sell in jail.
After grabbing the items out of the store, the chief says instead of them making a run for it, they snuck back in jail unnoticed. Jaquez Williams even bonded out for another charge.
All right, let's go around the room. MEZ, we'll start with you. Guess what race it is?
I would guess that he would be a black because, I mean, he's coming from jail. So
it's more than
sure.
One person, though.
They're black.
Damn. Just because they're coming from jail, they had...
Odds are black.
Jesus
Christ. Well, yeah, a lot more black people get arrested and locked up.
That is true. And Angela Yee?
My real question is, who worked in this jail?
That is true,
too. Allowed people to escape and then sneak back in.
That is true. What race are those
people? That's the real question.
Yes. Well, that is true.
Now, unfortunately, I am going to have to agree and say they were black just because Jaquez sings a song called Bed that I really like. And he's black.
Just remember.
I just wanted
to remember black and niggatry are two different categories.
He's not black.
Okay, Stella, who you got?
Look like?
I'm gonna have to go with black.
This is
wrong.
And
I'm hoping that it was a dare of some sort, because that's the only thing I could think of that makes sense.
This is terrible.
To leave and come back.
Kendra, tell me, Kendra, what you got, Kendra?
I would say white.
There you go, Kendra.
Now, why do you say white?
Kendra, damn it.
White people are mischievous. White people are mischievous.
Oh, my God. There you go, kid.
I've never used the word mischievous in my life, but I'm going to start using it.
Brandon, who you got, Brandon?
It would break my heart if these people were black, so I'm going to say white also.
There you go, Brandon, just for the cause.
And why do you say white? Just because?
For the culture.
For the culture, damn it. Okay. Now, in the case of Levante Ellington, Travis Baker, Maurice Robertson, and Jaquez Williams.
Levante.
Their race is Negro.
A powerful niggardry at work.
This ain't got nothing to do with black. This is niggardry, okay?
There's no white person named Levante.
I'm embarrassed, all right? One thing's for sure, two things for certain. Niggs gon' nigg. Please give Levante Ellington, Travis Baker, Maurice Robertson, and Jaquez Williams the sweet sounds of the Hammer Tones, please.
Oh, now you are the donkey of the day.
Niggatry and black are two different categories. Crack ass, crack, and white are two different categories. Okay, just remember that next time we play, guys. Okay, scurry along, interns. Thank you very much. Appreciate
right.
you.
Don't right. you guys go being mischievous.
You guys were great. All right? Really appreciate you guys, and gals were great. Now, Angelique, we got to ask you coming up next.
Oh, yes, we do. Now, if you need some advice or you want to ask me anything, just call us up. 1-800-585-1051, or you can always email me, helpmeyee@gmail.com, and we'll get you on.
Yes, it's the world's most dangerous morning show, The Breakfast Club.
The Breakfast Club.
All right, it's Ask Ye. Now, we have someone on the line who is anonymous. Hello, Miss Anonymous.
Hi, how are you?
Good, how are you? What is your question this morning?
All right, well, I had this guy that I was dating for a while. And, well, not really a while, it was a few weeks. But then I realized, because I had just got out of a relationship, that I didn't want to pursue anything with him. So I let him know that. And he was like, oh, okay, that's cool. Like, I understand.
Okay.
But,
So you guys just went on a couple of dates, but y'all never, like, had sex?
Right, nothing. And we kissed maybe once or twice, but that was that.
Okay.
But we remained friends. Like, he's a cool person to hang out with. So as months went on, like, cool. So I hung out with him a very long time. So one of his homies came around, and I was like, oh, okay, like, who's this? But I didn't want to, like, disrespect him, like, oh, and just going to talk to the homie.
So you want to smash the homie?
Well, not really smash the homie, but I want to know what's going on with him.
Okay.
So I was just trying to figure out, like, can I do that? Like, is it all fair game?
Listen, Anonymous, you're single, right?
Yeah.
And you've been very honest about everything. You just remained friends. Obviously, you didn't have a connection with the first guy. Y'all went out a few times, kissed once, no big deal, right?
Right.
He respects you as a person.
Yeah.
Y'all are actually friends. He should want you to find somebody to date that is a good person.
Well, I feel like he knows at this point. Like, I kind of want to talk to him. So now he's kind of, like, blocking. Like, we'll be over his house. Like, this, his house is, like, the hangout spot, basically. Mm-hmm. And I've been there a million times, and never once have I seen the homie. But when me and the homie saw each other, we both, like, started to come around more. Like, I started to see more of him. So I'm trying to figure out, like, does he like me, too? Like, should I even try? Like,
I think the two of you should get to know each other better. Right? Start off as friends. That way you can feel comfortable enough to let him know what the situation was. But you're not at fault regardless.
Yeah.
You know, if you meet somebody that you like, sorry that I didn't like your friend, but I like you. And it is what it is. And if the other guy really is cool with you, he shouldn't want to block what could potentially be a blessing for you.
Because they're like really cool. They're like brothers.
Okay.
Like, oh.
Listen, all good, but you ain't never do nothing with him and you don't like him. And he's probably dating people.
Yeah, he is.
Right. So let him be, he should go be happy with what he's doing, and he should want you to be happy. He should realize, look, we didn't have that connection, but she likes my homeboy. No big deal.
Well, our guys, like, kind of like, you used to talk to the homie.
But you didn't do anything, you know?
Yeah.
A lot of people that I'm friends with might have been people that when we first met, they were trying to talk to me, or you know what I'm saying? And
right.
It just didn't happen that way. And sometimes that's how friendships are formed. Now, if he's really your friend, then he'll give everything his blessing. But it's not like y'all were in a relationship. It's not like you guys even ever slept together.
Right.
So there shouldn't be anything awkward about it. If it's awkward, it's because he's being immature.
That's true.
And it's important for you to be just straight up. You tell him, look, I don't know if this is awkward for you, but I'm just out of respect for our friendship. I just want to let you know that I do like your friend.
Okay.
All right?
All right. We'll see what happens.
All right. Listen, you're not doing nothing wrong, so.
Okay.
You're not a hoe.
Well, thanks.
All right, that's Ask Ye, Anonymous.
I ain't gonna lie, Anonymous sound like a hoe to me.
Why?
But you know, what do I know?
Why does she sound like a hoe?
I tuned out after I heard a little bit of hoeism.
What hoeism?
I don't know. I wasn't paying no attention.
Exactly. That's because all she did was a guy liked her. They mm-hmm. never did anything together.
Mm-hmm.
And now she likes his friend. But they never had sex or nothing. They kissed once.
Well, she's not a physical hoe. She's a mental hoe.
Why is she a mental hoe?
Because she's just jumping from dude to dude. True. You just had a crush on his friend. Now you just jumped over to the next
she
dude.
She never had a crush on his friend. He liked her.
She's
it
a
didn't
hoe.
Work out.
She's a hoe in spirit. Now, we're in the middle of ASCII, 1-800-585-1051. If you need any advice from Angela Yee, call us right now. It's The Breakfast Club.
All right, we are doing ASCII, and we have Odario on the line. What's up, Odario?
Good morning. How you doing?
Good morning. How are you?
I'm great. Thank you for asking, Ms. Angela.
Yes, it is.
I had a question for you.
Okay.
So I've been dating this NFL player since high school.
Okay.
Before he even got to the NFL. And we went to college together and everything, but then I had to leave to go to Harvard because I got accepted into Harvard. So I graduated from Harvard Law School, and then I came back. So we was together all this time because we would go back and forth or whatever, right?
It's been how long?
So like 12, 13 years.
You've been dating this NFL player for 12 or 13 years, okay.
Yep. So I had got a job offer in Washington last year. to work at the prosecutor office out there. Mm-hmm. And he made me turn the offer down because he was like, okay, so we got engaged. So basically we got engaged, I'll say that. So
he took a knee
a few weeks ago. I'm sorry?
He took a knee. Never mind.
Bad joke. Go ahead.
So a couple of weeks ago, I went over by his house to get his clothes taken to the cleaners like I always do.
Uh-huh.
And this girl was in the house.
Uh-oh.
I paid no attention because we always say that, you know, we best friends. We never put out.
So he wasn't openly gay. He wasn't out.
Basically, no. Still not out today. I would never, you know, put him out on blast like that.
Right. He takes two knees, but he doesn't want anyone to know.
Exactly. So I said, that's cool. So I go over here, and then she tell me that, you know, they just got engaged.
What?
And that she is pregnant. Yeah, and she's pregnant.
Well, he's playing both sides of the ball. So he's offense and defense.
So he's engaged to you, and he's engaged to her.
Yeah, so I asked her, you know, I'm nosy. So I'm like, so how long, you know, you've been engaged? And she said, it's been like 5 months. I say 5 months, huh? So so I call him up because he had hit the road for this game out of town. So I said, I called him. I was like, come over to my house when you get home. So he came over like 2 o'clock in the morning. So I said, is there something that you need to tell me or whatever may have you? And he was like, no. So, of course, I lost my temper. I'm like, well, I'm not going to say her name. Mm-hmm. I'll just call her Kelly. I met Kelly over your house a couple of weeks ago, and she told me that you got engaged and she pregnant. So
every
then he decided he wanted
threat.
To tell the truth. Now, he said he loves me. But since she's pregnant, he has to marry her.
So this whole time he's been cheating on you and having sex with this woman.
Exactly. So I got another job offer out of state in New York, actually, at a prosecutor's office.
Okay.
And I accepted the job. So
get it, O'Daria. That's what I'm talking about.
So this is where it gets kind of tricky, right?
Mm-hmm.
So a few days ago, he came over with this, like, bad attitude. And I will say, yeah, he grabbed by my throat and picked me up against the wall because I'm not really.
Whoa.
Domestic violence. Does he play for the Giants and Jets?
I can't say. I won't say. Cowboys? But what I will say is that, you know, he bought this house, granted, which I didn't really need to because I work and I make my own money. So I call, like, the movers or whatever may have you, and I got all my stuff up out of there.
As you should, because he put his hands on you.
Exactly. So he found and tracked me down at my mother's house, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then he's sitting here begging and pleading, telling me not to leave and not to go because we're going to get married. And I don't believe nothing he said.
He's getting married to somebody else. How's he going to marry you?
Exactly. So what should I do? Should I just leave here? Because I'm sitting here.
Oh, Dario, as smart as you are, you went to Harvard. This man lied to you all this time, lied to this woman. He's having a baby with someone, and he put his hands on you.
People from Harvard get turned out by the D2.
And you don't know what to do?
It's just.
Oh, Dario, come on. I know.
This man don't know what position you want to play on the field.
I know you know what to do. You cannot tolerate that. You are way too... First of all, he's not even openly gay.
Yeah.
He's not even letting people know about your relationship. It's been 13 years.
Will you tell me who he is off the air?
No, I can't tell you because I would never put him out like that because it's not right. It's not my place.
Well, it looks like he has no intention of, and you're openly gay, right?
No, I'm not.
Oh,
no,
you're not. Neither one of you are.
No.
Well, how do you guys intend to get married at all?
Well, that's what I said. And he told me, he was like, well, you know, it's legal now. We've been together since high school. We should go ahead and do. You know,
Daria, I don't want you to marry somebody that choked you, threw you up against the wall by your throat and lied to you and is having a baby with somebody else.
That's what I said, too. Okay. I mean, it was the first time it happened, but I
but you need to figure out what you need to do because it seems like maybe you haven't come out the closet because he hasn't.
Yeah.
Don't live your life according to what this man is doing. Live your life for you.
So I guess I'm moving to New York then.
We'll see you in New York.
Are you moving to New York to be closer to him because this is where he plays?
No, he's leaving.
Are you leaving New York?
Come to New York.
You're leaving
New
York.
Well, I will say this. He plays for the Lions. I will say that. But that's all.
Shout out to the D.
The Lions. Yeah, been lying about a whole bunch of stuff, too.
All right. Well, Dario, hit us up when you come out here. We're going to party.
We're going to party?
Mm-hmm.
I can use a party. Okay. I appreciate you so much, Angela. You guys, y'all have a great day. Thank
All right,
you so
you
much.
Too.
I didn't clear my mind.
All right. All right. I'm glad to hear that.
You're going to clear your butthole. Have a blessed day, sir.
Sometimes it's hard, even as smart as you are, to make the right decision. When you're in love, you get clouded.
Yeah, you do, unfortunately. All right. I appreciate you. Thank you, Ms. Yee.
Have a blessed day.
You guys, too.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Charlamagne, you're an ass.
That was interesting. No, I'm not an ass.
Yes, you are.
Okay. Now, Angelique, you have Askie coming up. No, you have the room report. We just did Askie.
Where's Envy? Can we get Envy?
we just did Askie. We got the room report coming up?
Yes, we are going to be talking about Tamar Braxton and her husband. Looks like an unfortunate financial situation for them, all because they neglected to show up to court.
All right. All that and more when we come back. It's the world's most dangerous morning show, The Breakfast Club.
It's about time.
What's going on? Yo.
Rumor report. Rumor report.
This is the Rumor Report.
Talk to him.
With Angela Yee on The Breakfast Club.
Well, Paramount Pictures is going to be doing a sequel to the 1988 comedy Coming to America.
I heard about that. I heard about that.
Now, the script is being done by Blackish creator Kenya Barris.
I heard about this.
Should be pretty exciting.
That's it?
Yeah, that's it. I mean, I'm excited about it. It's going to be a sequel. Eddie Murphy is involved. He doesn't have a deal in place yet for him to star in it, but I can't imagine that he wouldn't because he's involved in it. Or maybe it'll be his son. I know there's been talks about that.
Maybe a daughter.
Or a daughter, perhaps, yes.
Maybe.
So we'll see what happens, but Eddie Murphy is indeed involved. So they haven't released additional details yet.
I'm going to be honest with you, man. When I first heard about this, I was like, you know what? I don't think this is a good idea. I think some things need to be left alone. But who am I to stop a new coming
who
to America?
Are you? Yes.
Especially if Eddie Murphy approved the script, because Eddie don't approve too much of nothing. So if Eddie approved the script, then it could be good.
And Kenya Barris, who did Black-ish, and he also—
Genius. Drop on the Clues Bombs with Kenya Barris. Genius.
I think it'll be pretty good. I'm excited for it. And he also co-wrote the comedy Girls Trip as well.
I'm going to be honest with you. I've already seen the script. And I can't, but I'm just not, I don't want to blow it for nobody. But I think it could be good.
Well, don't you blow anything for anyone. All right.
Excuse me? What if they give me a role in the movie?
Well, then you better take two knees. All right. Now, SZA
can I have a job, Big Daddy?
SZA has earned her first platinum record. Congratulations to SZA for Love Galore. That's awesome for her, and I just wanted to put that out there. And now
for the album?
No, for Love Galore.
Oh, drop on the Clues Bombs for SZA, damn it. SZA had a great year, too.
Yes, she did. And she's still having a great tour.
Phenomenal year.
It's popping for her.
Yes.
You know, patience.
Likes
patience.
SZA a lot.
All right, now let's talk about this Tidal X Brooklyn charity concert that is going down. They have announced the lineup. Now, we told you already they were doing this charity concert that's going to be benefiting all the people who were affected by the disasters, natural disasters like Hurricane Harvey, Hurricane Irma, Hurricane Maria, and the earthquakes that occurred in Mexico. Angie Martinez is going to be hosting.
Drop on the Clues Bombs for Angie Martinez, damn it. The legendary.
Now, Jay-Z will be performing, Chris Brown, Cardi B, Remy Ma, Yo Gotti, Joey Badass, and many more as well. So, should be pretty exciting. J-Lo is going to be there performing also. And that's at the Barclays. The Barclays just had their anniversary. I think it's been like 5 years or something since
they
opened.
Oh, yeah. Damn, it has been recent.
I want to get the exact amount of time.
Because Jay-Z
but I think
opened that, he was the first concert in there or something, right?
Yeah, so that just happened just recently. All right. The LAPD have arrested and charged a man named Corey McClendon, and that is with attempted murder for shooting Young Dolph. Now, we told you Young Dolph did get shot. He got hit at least twice. They said in the butt and in one arm. So now that man, Corey McClendon,
everybody grow up,
is being charged with attempted murder. What are you talking about?
Because, man, as soon as you say he got hit in the butt, everybody look at me and start giggling. And I don't want to be laughing at stuff like this. It's why I be laughing at inappropriate stuff, because y'all be in this room be acting stupid now. Stop. Everybody grow up. We all grown.
I'm not looking at you at all. I'm over here doing my job. All right, so Young Dolph is expected to be okay.
You salute to my guy, Young Dolph, man. God bless that brother. Really good dude.
Yeah. All right, Sports Illustrated. Did you guys see this cover? There's 10 people on the cover of Sports Illustrated, most recent edition. Steph Curry's on there, Coach Steve Kerr. And they're trying to show how sports have united in the wake of this whole divide about social and political issues.
So they should have had nobody on that cover except for Colin Kaepernick.
Now, Steph Curry said it was terrible. He said, it's just kind of capitalizing on the hoopla and the media and all that nonsense. The real people understand exactly what's been going on and who's really been active and vocal and truly making a difference. If you don't have Kaepernick front and center on that, something's wrong. It's kind of hard how certain narratives take place being prisoners of the moment. He said, and me linked arms with Roger Goodell, that makes zero sense at all. He had the most on the fence comment.
Yeah, and it was another, I think it's an owner on there who donated $1 million to Trump's campaign. Like, none of that cover doesn't even make any sense.
It doesn't make any sense.
If you're going to talk about any of the protests that are going on in the NFL, anything that's going on in sports when it comes to that, Colin Kaepernick should be on there kneeling, period.
Right. So a lot of people did had some issues with this cover, but.
And I'm so sick of white people acting like the national anthem is Nuck If You Buck. The national anthem is trash. That's what we need to all come to terms about, okay?
All right, well,
it's not a hot tune.
I'm Angela Yee, and that is your rumor report.
Yes.
Say goodbye to Revolt.
Bye, Revolt.